All right, let's go ahead and get started. Our agenda is here. On the agenda today, we were supposed to get an update on from Deutsche Telekom on their identity and credentials work. They've been working on this for many years now, but they're not yet here. We'll push them off to later in the agenda. We are planning to finish up our interviews this week. We have to cover the three major deliverables that we have for the end of month presentation to the Web Payments Interest Group at their face-to-face in San Francisco. So we have a verifiable claims task force final report, use cases document, and a draft charter proposal for work that we hope to start. Okay, so that's what's on the agenda today. Are there any other updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else we should be talking about? And then the 610 area code, who's that?
This is Colleen Kennedy from Pearson, calling in for Matt Stone.
Okay. Hey, Colleen.
Hey.
All right. If there are no additions or changes to the agenda, let's jump in. We have a plan to finish up, let's see, our interviews this week. So we've got good coverage on our interviews, meaning the vast majority of the people that we wanted to interview have responded in some way. Clearly, the folks that have very, very busy schedules, Sir Tim Berners-Lee and Vint Cerf, are probably not going to be able to schedule a time to talk before we have to report. We do have Jeannie Kitchens and Bob Sheets from the Credential Transparency Initiative scheduled for this Friday. John Tibbetts sent an email privately, just kind of it was kind of a here's my interview if you want to have something on the record. And it was a super, super helpful email in that, you know, it was from someone that has been, you know, in the industry for a really long time, that has been engaged in the credentials work, voicing their opinion about the same kind of things we've been asking the interviews about, like, you know, is this work worth doing? Should it be done at the W3C? Do you agree with the problem statement? Things of that nature. So the upside, one of the things that came out of that is, you know, we were going to try and integrate everyone's feedback into the final report, and we were going to ask people to just weigh in kind of a piecemeal way. But John Tibbetts' email, I feel, was way more helpful, meaning we have a bunch of really deep expertise already involved in the credential CG, but we haven't done interviews with them. They've just been kind of here for the past year and a half, helping us put all of this stuff together. So I think what we're going to try and do is do interviews over email. So like Richard Varn, Matt Stone, John Tibbetts, and, you know, a variety of other folks in the group, we're going to ask you to write an email and send it to the mailing list. You know, I'll have a template that you guys can use, but we would like to effectively hear from you, the people that have actually been participating for, you know, the longest, about what your thoughts on the verifiable claims charter are. And we're going to wrap that into the final report. My hope is that we can get input from the folks that actually want to move on this stuff and not just hear from the people that are, one, don't really have skin in the game, and two, are being fairly negative about some of the things we're trying to accomplish here. So just a heads up, especially to you, Richard, and John Tibbetts, and Matt Stone, and other folks that feel that they could provide input, we'll be sending out a template, and if you can just respond with like a one-page email, you know, or you can make it as long as you want, that would be super helpful. You know, send it back to the mailing list, we'll put it down on the record, and then we'll report those findings to the web payments IG at the end of the month. Any questions on the interviews or that interview template?
Yeah, Manu, this is John. I just want to make sure I respond. I did put in the email the second time to the two forums that you gave me. Did you not get those? To public credentials and payments IG?
I'm behind on my email.
Oh, that's all right. I just wanted to make sure because I didn't get any, you know, apart from the confirmation page, the website, where I had to okay its distribution, I didn't get anything else. So if you don't have it, let me know and I'll resend it to
I don't
some
have
other.
It. I just
okay.
checked. Huh. Let me check across a variety. So
you don't
you
have
send
to do
it
now.
The IG,
yeah.
When you send it to the IG, it will be held for moderation. So we know that'll happen, but your one to the credential CG should have gone through. I'm not
okay.
seeing it. There.
Okay, we don't have to debug it now. I just wanted to make sure that you got it.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you send it to those two mailing lists, at some point they'll show up in the record. It's in the public record, and then we can reference it from there.
Good.
Any other questions on interviews or writing interviews up? Richard, specifically, do you think you're going to have time this week to write something up and send it in?
Well, yeah, you said you're going to send a template around, is what I heard,
yeah.
And then we're supposed to respond to it. So I was waiting, on last week's call, you said this, and I was thinking I was going to get like a prompt to do it. But
yeah, you were, sorry.
Okay.
I'm kind of, you know, we've changed the strategy slightly to parallelize it a bit more. And you will get a template, and then that's your ping to
yep.
write a response back. Okay.
The answer is yes, then. Yep.
Awesome. Okay. And then, Colleen, if you could let Matt Stone know as well, that would be super helpful. Or if you want to respond on behalf of you know, Pearson.
Sure.
That would be good as well. Okay. Any questions on this agenda item before we move on? And you know what, Rebecca, I don't know if it would be a good idea for you to provide your input. You certainly have a very unique perspective, and I think it would be great to have that, capture that unique perspective. But if you feel uncomfortable because you haven't been engaged in the work as deeply as some of the other folks, feel free to say no.
No, I would very much like to. I'm afraid I'm not likely to be as useful as the other folks, but I'd like to start catching up with you a little bit.
Okay. Well, I think just having an opinion, and to be clear, you don't have to have an opinion on behalf of your organization. It's just I have been involved in work like this or related to it, and this is
sure.
what I think.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, you know, it goes out to anyone that feels that they can add something that the other interviewees have not said.
Yep.
Especially, you know, words of support are super helpful.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. I will try to get that template out today. And then if you can try to get responses back by Friday, that would be great. Really any time before the face-to-face meeting, which is starts around the 20th, 21st, that's like the absolute last that's the kind of the drop dead date, but ideally you'd like to integrate it into the presentation, which means it would be good to have responses back by this Friday. All right, so that's that. Moving on to the next agenda item, unless there are any questions. Any questions? Okay, next up is the Verifiable Claims Task Force final report. Here is a link to that Google document. I was able to put a little bit of time into this over the weekend. It is not going as quickly as I was hoping, but the basic structure of the document is there, as well as the first couple of sections are kind of the sections are kind of filled out. So going from the top of the document down, we provide a back. Let me back up to the purpose of this document. This document will be circulated to 300 plus W3C member companies. It's basically giving them a background on the work that we've been doing and making a case to have a standardization initiative at W3C. It proves that we've done our due diligence in the area. So we start the document out by giving a quick background on the Verifiable Claims Task Force and why it was created, the purposes, you know, behind it. We state very simply what the problem statement is that we have gotten agreement on through the interviews. And then we go into a summary of findings, because quite honestly, you know, these member companies, their representatives are fantastically busy, and they will probably only read the first page and a half. Everything else in the document is basically supporting documentation. So if somebody really wanted to dig in, they would be able to find all the assertions in the summary of findings. So I'm on, you know, the bottom of the first page, top of the second page. So we assert a number of things, like there's broad consensus on the accuracy of the problem statement. There is no user-centric and privacy-enhancing ecosystem for issuing, storing, and requesting verifiable claims over the web. You know, second bullet item, there are clear use cases that have been documented in payments, insurance, banking, finance, healthcare, and education. We have those. There is broad consensus that current technologies are not readily addressing the problem. You know, if they were, we wouldn't be having this discussion, right? There's broad consensus that the W3C and IETF are capable of addressing the problem. Again, it just goes into kind of summary of findings there. If the group participants could take a look at that document, highlight things that they feel are issues or they have concerns with, and just leave comments in the document, that would be super helpful. Bill, I'm getting a lot of feedback from your connection, I think. If you could mute, please. Thanks. Okay, and then we kind of go into what we mean by privacy enhancing and user centric. This has continued to be a point of confusion. Scrolling down to page 4, we list the survey. So we have 43 organizations that we have surveyed, including Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, you know, Target, New Zealand Government, Verisys Accredited Trust, FileSource, IMS Global, WorldPay. I mean, we have a long list, and that's more supporting material showing that the problem's not solved and there's a desire to solve the problem. Bottom of page 4 are the interviews. So we are listing all the experts that the W3C staff wanted us to interview. And then we will also be adding anything from the credentials CG's experts like John Tibbetts or Richard Varn or Matt Stone. We're going to be adding their interviews in there as well. I hate to say this, but the bigger the company you're with, the more weight your interview is going to carry. So while we do want to hear from small organizations, quite frankly, I don't think the W3C membership or management are going to find small companies' interviews as convincing as very large organizations' interviews. Okay, so we've got interviews in the bottom of page 4, and then page 5 is just a table of contents. Through the rest of the document, basically elaborates on the things that we have consensus on, clear consensus on, and the things that we don't have consensus on, like concerns and potential pitfalls. So we have to point out, clearly we have to point out all the things that everyone's worried about us messing up. Okay, so that's kind of the shape of the Verifiable Claims Task Force final report. There will be a presentation on this done at the Web Payments Interest Group meeting on the Monday of the face-to-face meeting. We have been given 90 minutes, which is a pretty large chunk of time. In that 90 minutes, we have to figure out if the Web Payments IG is going to back our charter proposal or our use cases or not. In order for that to happen, we need very clear payments use cases, because if we don't have those in there, they're not going to, you know, they're going to feel that they don't really have much to say there. The chairs have already said they don't have to see, you know, 70% of it as payments use cases. They just need to see one or two payments use cases in there to demonstrate that they, you know, this affects them. Okay. Any questions on the Verifiable Claims Task Force final report or how we're going about trying to convince the IG that they have a part to play here? Do folks feel like this is the right approach, or is something missing?
That sounds good. Are you going to have the time to move it forward? Is it something you need assistance with, or what?
I could certainly use all the help I can get. I'm very, very thin on time these days. I will get it done if it means staying up till 4 in the morning, but I'd rather not do that. I don't know how to parallelize the work at this point. The best guess that I have is that people go into the topics that have consensus section or the concerns and potential pitfall section, scan the interviews, and make sure we're covering everything. So that making sure that those pilot titles are there. And then in each section, we need to copy and paste quotes from people saying what they're concerned about. Or kind of link to the interviews that raise the concerns. So basically, you know, each topic, I'm looking at page 6. Each one of those topics should have a paragraph summarizing what the topic's about, and then referencing all the interviews that made claims about it, preferably with quotes from those people, showing that they are supportive or concerned or they have issues with it. Did that make sense, Brian?
Yep.
And honestly, at this point, it's like, you know, everyone take a stab at it. You know, if you have some time over the next week and the thing's not filled out, fill it out, because that's going to really, really help. We were hoping to have this document done by this Friday. I'm certainly not going to be able to do that. I'll get as far as I possibly can. But, you know, that's kind of where we are. It'll be done by the time the face-to-face happens. But the more people we have on it, the tighter we can make the message. Are there any volunteers to help with this document at this point?
I'll take a look at it. I mean, I don't have any more time than you do, but maybe we can stay up till 2 instead of 4.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. A very sad plan, but a plan nonetheless. Okay. Any other input on the task force final report? I think what we may do is suggest that the task force final report is in draft form and it's not final. And we will take input from the interest group and Revit right after the face-to-face meeting, primarily because we don't have the time to finish it. But as a secondary thing, giving the IG some kind of buy-in into the spec, like they have the ability to change the content in there. So if they asked us to elaborate on something specific, we can do that. And we're demonstrating that we're being responsive to their desires. Yes, as Shane said, this is the semi-final report. Okay, anything else on the final report before we move on to use cases? Okay, use cases document. Shane, would you mind giving us an update on the use cases document?
Not at all. Thanks. Just so everybody's kind of on the same page, no pun intended, a couple weeks ago, I decided or offered to take lead on getting these use cases pulled together from the various sources. Daniel, Brian, and Greg agreed to assist, and so the four of us have been working diligently to sort of pull all this data together. We have there was a link to the current version in the agenda for today, so you can see its current state of play, which basically is that we're gathering together a lot of use cases, we're culling them out of the other sources, organizing them together into a structure where basically very similar use cases are grouped together as scenarios that support a given requirement. So, you know, requirement X has motivation Y, and here are a bunch of scenarios that people have put forward that support that. My task over the next couple of days is going to be to go through the document, get it into a consistent editorial style. Everybody writes a little differently, right? And try to float all the payment-related scenarios to the top of those lists. So for every requirement we're putting forward, make certain there's at least one payment-related scenario to make it clear that that requirement is related to payments. If there isn't a use case or a scenario that's related to payments and I can't find one, then we'll either relegate that requirement to a someday pile or make up a scenario that supports it, one or the other. That's kind of where we're at. My intention is absolutely to have it done by Friday. And yeah, 4 in the morning is certainly part of that process. Any questions?
Awesome. First, a deep, deep thank you, Shane, and Dan, and Greg, and Brian for adding to that spec. Thank you very much, Shane, for leading the charge on this. The use cases document is in way better shape than it was 2 weeks ago. So that's great. We've actually been able to kind of circulate it to people and, you know, tell them that it's in really rough shape, but people have responded really positively to it, as in, you know, it's clear that folks have done your due diligence. There's, a large set of use cases, and I saw some of mine in there. These are other people talking. So that's great. And these are people in finance and banking as well as education. So I think, Shane, fantastic job, on the direction. Everyone understands that it's rough, but I think it's resonating with people. So that's great. The reason I put myself on the queue was So Ian Jacobs, LE3C staff, has pushed back on the use cases document. He has said that he would much rather us focus on 8 core use cases and associate a charter with that rather than shotgun a ton of use cases their way, some which we may not be able to deal with in the phase one work. What's the word? Ironic? I don't know if it's ironic. The argument that he made for the web payments use cases was, let's get a whole bunch of use cases together and then prioritize, right? Or that's what we ended up doing in the web payments thing. So it feels like they're asking for something different from what we did for the web payments use cases. I don't know if that's because the web payments use cases didn't quite work out like folks wanted, or if there was pushback on those. I know that when W3C starts work, they try to list like a very minor set of use cases. The problem with the minor set of use cases, of course, is that they are not very descriptive of the ecosystem that we're trying to build, or at least the Credential CG is trying to build. That's the kind of point of contention. So Shane, do you have any thoughts on that? Like maybe, we have this big use cases document, but maybe we cut and paste a number of payments related ones and, phase one like work into a separate use cases document and show that as an alternative so that if they have pushback on the big document, we have an answer.
Sure, that's certainly a strategy. My intention had been to take a cut at prioritizing as, you know, essential versus nice to have, which I would call phase one, phase two, or phase one stretch goals, phase two, and never, right? I mean, you could sort of, you know, this will never happen, but it'd be great if it did, right? I think those are all ways to do it. If you wanted me to create a version of the document that only displayed the things that we felt were phase one and related to payments, that's trivial. So I'm happy to have that document available, having done the other work already, right? So that would just fall out. Right. Are you suggesting, however, that when we have lots of scenarios that support a use case, and again, I'm going to keep using the word requirement because use case is overloaded in this community, so let me just say, a bunch of scenarios that support a use case. Are you suggesting we hide some of those scenarios so it's not overwhelming and only have the payment scenarios, or is it okay to have both?
I wish I had better requirements, editorial requirements. I don't. I just know that there is pushback against having a massive list of requirements, use cases, things of that nature. And unfortunately, Shane just dropped, so he didn't hear that.
Except I didn't. I'm still on the call. That doesn't make any sense. Weird.
Magic. Maybe that's your old,
yeah,
that's your old connection. Never mind. I don't know. I know that's fantastically frustrating as an editor because, you know.
Yeah, I don't care. It means I get to pick, and that's fine.
Right.
I think the only person I heard feedback from was Ian, and what the feedback I heard from him was, you know, don't waste your time doing all this stuff that doesn't have anything to do with payments. I mean, that was the thing I heard him say. If you heard him say something else separately, that's okay too.
I heard one of the chairs say something slightly different, and I was modifying what Ian said with that. I think here's what Ian typically wants when we're putting charters together is he wants to not overwhelm the membership with too much data. So I think what he's saying is whittle it down to 8 use cases that resonate with the membership. Make sure that half of them are payments related so the IG can have an excuse to, you know, push this stuff forward, and make sure that the charter is scoped to those use cases. I think that's what he's saying. And maybe this time we lost Shane. Yes, we lost him. He'll dial back in soon. Dan, you're on the queue. Go ahead.
Thanks. I'm guessing Shane just rejoined, but let me just go ahead and say quickly. I understand the value of focus. There's definitely quite a bit of value there. But as we've seen, you know, recently, and actually you've seen for a long time now, there's this back and forth thing that happens, and you mentioned it as well, right? That when you reduce, then someone says, yeah, but I can see a way to do this that doesn't actually require all the stuff you guys are talking about. And then you say, well, we have all these other use cases. Yeah, but you didn't show me those. Yeah, because you didn't want to see them. Oh, yeah. So I think it's important in whatever we do to make sure that there is there's something that, you know, pretty clearly says these are the primary use cases. If you don't understand why we're suggesting certain directions, then please look at these other use cases. And it needs to be written, you know, right at the end of the first 8, right? So people can read the first 8, but the moment they say, yeah, I don't see how that justifies what you need to do, you can say, well, feel free to read the rest.
Right.
That's all.
Shane, you're on the queue.
Daniel, thank you. That's actually a really good point. Because I do think it's important that we show how we're supporting a lot of things and have that ancillary, I don't even want to call it ancillary, all the data. Maybe a strategy is to have the, you know, here's the 8 or the 10 or whatever it is that are the highest priority in section 3. And then there's, you know, appendix, whatever, which is all the rest of the things. So if it's right after it, it's supporting information. It's the additional information that we're bringing to the table here. Would that satisfy you, Daniel?
Yes, that's exactly what I was talking about. Ideally, what he was asking for, you don't make that the entire document. You put that as the front part of the document, and then you have, as you say, an appendix, call it whatever you want, but that has everything else in it.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Manu, if we could push back on that, then I don't know. I'll add a button at the top so you can hide the appendix. I don't know.
Okay. I think that's perfectly reasonable. Okay. I mean, that sounds like a solid direction. Anyone feel uncomfortable about that direction or feel that there's a better direction that we could take?
I plus one to that in RC. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, that is our direction with the use cases. We're seeing lots of plus ones or several plus ones in IRC. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Anything else on use cases, Shane, before we move on to the draft charter proposal?
Everybody who's not editing, say a little prayer for us. We're going to get there.
All right, last up on the agenda, and actually I saw either Peter or Jorg join. Are you there, Peter or Jorg?
Oh, yes, I'm online, but I didn't see Jorg, actually, so I don't know what happened to his agenda item.
Okay. Jorg had asked for time. Oh, go ahead.
So I didn't talk to him beforehand, so I really don't know what he wants to say, and I'm not really prepared to take his place
okay.
at the moment.
Okay, that's fine. And it might have been that Jorg was asking for time on the web payments interest group call and not this call. I thought he was asking for this call. He said the verifiable claims call, but maybe he was just asking for time on the other call. In any case, Peter, I mean, know that at any point, if you or Jorg want to present the work that Deutsche Telekom has done on identity and credentials, you're always welcome to present here and provide the group with some background on that. So it's an open invitation to present that stuff whenever you want.
Yeah, absolutely. I will do that. Maybe I can express a few thoughts. And I think that what you're doing, the user-centric approach, is very well aligned with what we are doing with the Deutsche Telekom Innovation Labs. And if there's some comment from me, I will just chime in. And at the moment, I'm just new to the group, and I will follow your discussions at the moment.
Okay, sounds good. And, Jorg and I have talked a lot about the Deutsche Telekom work and the work that we're doing here, and do agree that there's a tremendous amount of alignment. So it's just a matter of getting the rest of the people in the group up to speed with what Deutsche Telekom has been doing in this area. Okay. All right. Next up is the draft charter proposal. Let me go ahead and put the link in here. All right, so we need to make a decision on the proposal pretty soon. the proposal, so just so folks know, we haven't been asked to provide a charter proposal, but we're going to do it anyway because it helps the group, the Web Payments IG, kind of see what we're asking for. It's a solid ask, and I think we're to the point now where we can start doing solid asks and seeing what the team and the IG think, if they think that they can get behind that solid ask. We're having trouble formulating exactly what the solid ask is for, and here's why. Through the interview process, we asked multiple interviewees whether they felt like the problem was in data models and data formats, like how do you express a verifiable claim? How do you express a digital driver's license online? How do you express a passport or a person's loyalty card or a bank account or their debt obligations, things like that. How do you express that online? What's the data model and the data format to do that? or, you know, is that where the problem is, or is it with the protocol? How do you issue credentials? How do you store credentials? How do you request and transmit credentials? And, you know, if we split the work up into those two spheres, can you do both of them in parallel? Are they dependent? Do you need one and then you do the other? And if we're going to charter work, which one of those things or both of them are going to be the most compelling to the W3C membership? So the current charter as it stands right now is asserting that we should get the data model down and we should get the data format down. So we should talk about how we express a verifiable claim and just get that really nicely locked down. And that's all the working group is chartered to do. And after we do that, the vision is to then work on the protocol. How do you move those verifiable claims around the web and the internet in a way that's secure and privacy enhancing and all that kind of stuff? So the interviews that we've had, they've fallen into two basic camps. One of them says, do the minimum necessary just so you can start getting traction at W3C. But make sure that people know what the long-term vision for this stuff is. Right. So because of that, just work on the data model and the data format. Right. Don't work on protocol. The other group of folks said it doesn't really make a lot of sense to just work on the data model and the data format, because until you can move this stuff around, you do not have a healthy ecosystem. Right. In fact, you could do damage in that, because you don't specify what the ecosystem is, people kind of run off and do their own thing. And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, four or five competing ways of moving this data around the internet and the web. So the question to this group is, does anyone have any strong feelings one way or the other about what we should put into the charter? Because if we make it too big, if what we're asking the W3C membership to tackle sounds like this thing that's going to take many, many years to do, they're going to be less prone to approving the charter than if there is a tightly scoped piece of work. Okay, so general question to the group is, any strong feelings on the charter, what we should put in there? Longley, you're on the queue, I'll scroll.
I feel like if we don't cover both of these things, then we're going to get pushback from one of the two groups. There are people that think, oh, the data format's not all that important. So if all you're going to do is a data format, don't bother. And there are, as you said, there are people who think that the data format is really important and we shouldn't necessarily be doing something with the protocol just yet. And I think if we don't put them together, then what will end up happening is at least one group will find nothing that they'll be interested in doing in the work, and they'll push back on doing the work at all. Whereas if we at least have both things in there, then people will find things that they think will be useful that could come out of the work. Now, we can try, there's a number of things we could do to try and keep the scope really limited. We could, for example, focus only on doing a browser API, which makes it clear that this work makes sense to do at W3C versus at like IETF. That has a disadvantage of not talking about how to move these things around with an HTTP API, but we could say that that's a phase two thing. So that, you know, that might give us some limited scope and get us to be able to get something done and do it at W3C. And the other thing that we can do is be very clear about, we're just providing a very simple means by which to have people store this information via their browser, an API to store this information via their browser, and share it via their browser. And then we don't really need to try to do anything other than that. And maybe if we keep it limited to that, then we can talk about how we're going to need to have some kind of format for the data, and we're going to need to have the simplest version of the ecosystem, and then talk about how future phases can expand on that. And I'd like to hear what other people's thoughts are on that approach.
Right. So here's I think my primary concern with that approach is that we have zero browser vendors joining the calls, and we know that a few of them disagree with the entire approach that we're taking. Like, for example, I think Mike West from Google, who's working on the credentials management API, is not convinced at all that we should be doing this work, or he's very skeptical of it, as are Richard Barnes from Mozilla and Brad Hill from Facebook. So I think if we proposed a browser API without having any of the browser vendors behind it, we are at an automatic disadvantage. It is not going to take. I am pretty strongly convinced that it is not going to happen, because we have gone through this in the Web Payments Working Group, where we proposed an API. All the browser vendors were already on board, and we proposed an API, and there was severe rejection of that API, right? I mean, most of it was because we were trying to use JSON-LD and linked data. Like, they really didn't like that. And the mode that we fell into was just outright rejection of the proposal. It does us no good to propose a browser API when none of the browser vendors are actually going to get behind it. So I think going out of the gates with a browser API, my personal opinion is it would be a disaster, because we don't have buy-in. Go ahead, Longley.
Yes, I finally got on the queue after pressing the right keys. My response to that would be, yes, Mike West is skeptical, but at the same time, there was already a credential management API that we intended, at least in the credential CG work, to try and extend. And we already got Mike West to say in that spec that the credential CG, or a potential future working group, intended to extend that spec to build on top of it and do some other things. So we've already got that groundwork laid, and we can point to that and say, here we are, this is what we're doing. We're going to extend the spec, and this is how we're going to extend it. So we can build polyfills on top of that. So I think we've actually kind of got some of that groundwork there, versus where in the web payment stuff we were starting entirely from scratch. And so I do think that it's a slightly different situation. That's my view.
Go ahead, Shane.
I don't disagree. We have a hook. I don't understand. I mean, maybe we don't want to use the hook. Maybe the hook is broken. I don't know. But at the very least, there's some sort of entree in an existing W3C API, or the browser API. I would just note that there's also this web authentication activity that the announcement came out yesterday, right? I don't know how that dovetails with what we've been doing, or.
No, oh, Shane just got disconnected. I will put Shane back on the queue, and hopefully he will reconnect at some point. To answer Shane's question, though, it doesn't have any overlap, as far as we can tell, with the credentials work. So specifically, the web authentication working group is not allowed to work on multi-origin credentials what was the other?
Federated identity.
Federated identity, which is effectively the stuff that we're working on. Not federated identity, but the whole multi-origin credential stuff. I don't think what we're trying to do is falls into that. The other issue that I have with the browser API thing is that we still do not have a browser saying, we will back this. And without that, I don't think we can get anywhere. In that, I'm going to be super negative right now. I think that Mike West and the Google folks are saying we'd be interested in seeing a proposal, and we'll think about it once that proposal's on the table. But I think once we put that proposal on the table, they'll say, yeah, this API was never intended for that stuff. So we don't agree that you should be building on top of this API. We believe you should be building on top of another API. And as a result, we're completely stonewalled from making any progress at W3C. Go ahead, Richard, you're on the queue. Oh, I'm actually sorry, Richard, hold on. Dan Burnett's ahead of you. And then you're on the queue after him. Go ahead, Dan.
It basically amounts to a plus one. I have had that experience in multiple groups. If you have anything that you need browser vendors to implement and they are not participating in the design, then it's not going to happen. And even if you think it will happen, it may stop later. So I just want to say that I agree your concern is a major one, and we definitely don't want to go down a road where we create something that ends up with no implementations.
Go ahead, Richard.
I was just going to add that, you know, when we always run the danger of having a scope that's so large that we, you know, it just swallows all possibility of discussion here. Part of the reason that we, the education groups, were involved here is there's an agitation in the education community to be able to exchange these kind of credentials and be able to discover them and eventually validate them somehow, verify that they are properly issued. We kind of know that use case. And the protocol, I think if you're describing it, no one really cares what it is that's in that use case world. They only want it to work, and they want one or more of them to be able to be plugged into their expression of the data such that they can build a trust level around it that's adequate to its use. And that's all they really care about. And if we can express that in without trying to cover every area of interest here, that we can start in some areas of having the data formatting and the way it's expressed as a credential understood, at least in one or more areas, that's the unique contribution we can make. The other areas, even though I see that the authentication group is multi-source credentials are out of scope, which is us, they're going to be very helpful to what we're going to do. So same thing with the web payments group. So this is a set of interlocking dependencies between us and these other groups, and I'm trying to think about what is our unique contribution and make sure we make that and link it to other people's shared contributions. And I'm not quite sure how to do that, Manu.
Right. So I think, so Carla asked the question further up that was, that I think was important. So, you know, Carla said, how does this data model work and this data format work tie into the Credentials Transparency Initiative work? And I think the answer to that question is the same way that it ties into other credentialing initiatives, which is, you know, every single one of these initiatives needs some kind of standard data model and data format to express this stuff in a verifiable way. That does not exist today, I can strongly assert that that does not exist today. And it sounds like the bare minimum that all of us could do is to do just that. Express, you know, basically say we know that we're going to need a protocol in the future, but we don't have browser vendor buy-in, so we can't really do an API right now. We don't have browser vendor buy-in yet, right? The protocol stuff is somewhat controversial because it seems like we're trying to boil the ocean with that. So the only thing that we're really left with is data model and data format. And if we put a really short time frame on that, the hope is that we can get through that in a year's time, right? Because we already have one. The Credential CG has already proposed one. We're already working with folks like Badge Alliance, you know, and CTI to pull all that stuff together. There's a very solid proposal on the table, and we can bring that into the working group. And if we get through that in a year, we can use that year to build the case for having a protocol for exchanging or having a browser API. while making some progress towards our goal. So I think, you know, I'm after, you know, hearing some of the input, I think the thing that everyone seems to have in common right now is a common way to express these claims and make sure that they're verifiable, right? And then when it comes to like browser API or protocol, that's where everyone's opinions start fragmenting. At least they're fragmented enough where we can't say that we have consensus on those things. So all that boils down into the solid proposal in the charter being, let's work on data format, data model and data format until we can get consensus around protocol and browser API. Shane, you're on the queue.
I wish I could remember what I was saying the first time I was on the queue and got cut off because I was being super eloquent.
No doubt.
I assume it was brilliant and that you all agreed with me, whatever it was. I understand what you're saying, Manu, that about trying to get some points on the board, if you will. With that in mind, if this group agrees with the direction you're pushing for, do you want us to tailor the use case document so the things that are not protocol related float to phase one?
So we've had pushback from Ian to not talk about phases. He's just saying, just talk about a group charter that's self-contained. And I mean, you know, honestly, I don't think Ian really cares about the larger vision right now. He just cares about selling something to the W3C membership that's fairly tight and clean. To be clear, I think the answer to your question is yes, Shane, meaning that we'll want to put, you know, something to the order of like phase one, phase two, or verifiable claim data format working group and verifiable claim protocol working group. You know, we might want to say that there are different working groups working on this stuff and you have to stage it. So stage one is the verifiable claim data format working group. Stage two is verifiable claim protocol working group. To be clear, I think all of us want data model, data format, and protocol to be done. Like that's when this ecosystem has a tremendous amount of value to us, the people that have been spending a lot of time, you know, over the past 2 years in this work. I'm finding it difficult to put the protocol stuff in there because we already know that W3C management is going to push back hard on that. And if they push back hard on something, it's very hard for us to get it in front of the membership. So we've got to give them something that they know that they can sell. And I don't think that they think they can sell the protocol right now. Victoriano, you're on the queue. And we can't hear your audio if you're speaking, which is unfortunate. If you could type it in. Okay, Victoriano, still no audio from you. I can hear clicking, but I don't know if that's you. Could you type your comments in? So while Victoriano is typing that in, Shane, thoughts?
I hate giving up, I guess is my thought. There's a classic short story called The Fly where a guy keeps dripping oil or ink on a fly on his desk. And the fly gets up and shakes it off, and then after, you know, the 10th time or so, the fly's like, ah, screw it, he just dies.
Mm-hmm.
We're the fly, and we need to continue to shake the ink off, okay? We've got, because because everybody who's been involved in this for, you know, as long as, you know, years, right, knows that all of this is required. I don't understand what benefit we're going to get out of defining the data format independent of APIs or some sort of protocol. I mean, it's like having a header file and no C compiler. Okay. I don't know what to do with it. What do you think we're going to get out of it other than the next working group?
Sure. Dan Burnett, and then someone who I don't know who that is, but go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, so I understand Shane's concern quite a bit that sometimes you can't properly do one piece without knowing what the other pieces are going to look like. I will say that, you know, all standards work that I've seen that's been successful has been effectively staged. It has to be, because essentially there's a certain mass of people who want to do one thing or a set of things. And if you decide that you'll do that and then there's some other stuff that you may do afterwards, then the people who want to do that other stuff afterwards will still participate in the first block of work. And when you're done with that first block of work, if there are still enough people who are interested in that phase two part, then it will still happen. But there's a point at which, well down the road, where there isn't a critical mass anymore of people to do additional work. So it's always a question of where do you draw that line. And in practice, I found it more helpful not to draw the line if you can help it, but instead to say, again, this is part one, this is part two, which we'll worry about after we've done part one. Or we'll do only as much of it as we need to have an idea how to do part one. And then when part one's done, if there really is that much demand for it, then it should be obvious at that point. Anyway, that's my comment. I even with that, I do understand Shane's concern. I just know that politically, that's the only way to actually get any work done.
Got it. Thank you, Dan. We're reaching the top of the hour, so we'll try to go through the rest of the queue. Faf Mansi is next up.
Yeah, so I'm interrupting, Manu, but it's Rebecca. I just have to drop, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Hang on. Right, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Rebecca. So who's next on the queue? Faf Mansi?
I think it's me, Peter. P. Holzman, CSI.
Oh, right. Sorry, Peter Hoffman.
I would also support the notion that maybe it's from a practical implementer's point of view, I think it's a barrier to adoption. If you only standardize the data format, then there's an important piece missing, you know, for an actual implementation. And I think that would really slow down the adoption of the standard. And maybe we should try to reach for more in the work. And that's just my two cents.
I just wanted to jump in and note that at the end of a data model and data format discussion, or you know, at the end of that charter, we will have something useful out of it, which is a standard way to express these verifiable claims. And some people have asserted that maybe the transport layer is OpenID Connect's attribute exchange. Maybe it's something else. Here, I think the trap that we may fall into by saying we need to do the protocol is, you know, we have a demo protocol on the credentials in the credential CG prototype. The downside there is that it requires us to solve a really hard computer science problem, which is the whole web DHT decentralized identifier, like self-sovereign identifier thing, which requires us to create a web scale DHT. So that is not a trivial issue to address. And if we go into, if any one of the W3C members finds out that we have to solve that problem, I can see formal objections coming. That is my core concern over trying to do the protocol work, because they're going to want something done in 2 years. And I, at least personally, am not convinced that we can get that done in 2 years. We just don't have the people and the funding to to pull it off. Whereas I think we definitely have people in funding to pull off data model and syntax. Go ahead, John Tibbetts.
So yeah, I think there would be some value in the data model format side of it. It sounds like it's moving in the direction of the way JOTS work as a way of expressing a verifiable claim. But I wonder though if the dynamic side of it, which is realized in an API, couldn't be expressed more non-specifically with just, and here are the required interactions that we need to make this kind of thing work without getting to the level of actual protocols, which I think that then you get into territory that people really want to have some control over, and that's when the browser people would be involved. So would it be? It seems like we want to have some dynamic expressed, but could we do it abstractly or sort of diagrammatically?
We could, and you know that's kind of that's what the charter has to state clearly. What exactly is it we're proposing that the W3C do? So I think we can certainly do that, John. The question is, you know, do people in this group feel like having just a data model and a data format move us forward, or do we feel like you have to also do the protocol? And in that case, how are we addressing the whole WebDHT self-sovereign identifier problem? Because quite honestly, we haven't solved that one entirely yet. Okay. So we're past time. Apologies for that. Next week, I'm not going to be able to be here because my wife is defending her dissertation and I have to watch the kids. we can either have a regular call and someone else can run it, or what we might want to do is push the call off until Thursday or Friday to make sure that we have all the material that we're going to present the following week together. So I will send out an email asking folks if they want to reschedule to later in the week or if they want to keep the same time. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you, everyone, for the call and the extra time today. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll chat again next week. Thanks. Bye.